turn, please, to the book of James. Book of James, the second chapter, and in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1307. We'll read just four verses, starting with the 11th verse and reading through the 13th. I'm sorry, the 10th verse. Verses 10 through 13. And let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. We'll read the verses responsively, just these four verses, the 12th verse being the text verse. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, "Do not commit adultery," said also, "Do not kill." Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. And let's pray. Bless, we pray now, dear Lord, this service. We're thankful for a time set aside during the evening hours of each Lord's Day when we can come once again to this place and hear your word. We pray for your blessing, for your power, and anoint our preacher and anoint our ears for the listening to the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, Father, bless the preaching of thy word, a little shorter tonight than usual because of the Lord's Supper. So I pray you'd give me the attention of the people and quickly and completely. And may I have constant contact with you as I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. James said, "So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." Law of liberty. That's a strange statement. The law of liberty. Who ever heard of law and liberty joining hands? We, however, are so limited in our understanding of words. We live at the base of the words we use. We only see them as they touch the ground. We do not see them as they ascend toward the sky. And like an insect in a great cathedral, we just see the bottom of the pillars, not realizing that somewhere far above those pillars meet and form an arch for the building and for the strength of the great cathedral. We see words and fail to trace them all the way to find that they're part of the same structure. Law and liberty. When somebody mentions law and liberty, as we see words at the base, the bottom of the pillars of God's sanctuary of truth, they seem to conflict with each other. Because law and liberty to us are completely opposed to each other and enemies. Each implies the absence of the other. It is a contradiction to us to have them together, law and liberty. Liberty is the getting rid of the law, and law is to us the excommunication of liberty. When a child is old enough to, when our kids got old enough to walk, I took them on a guided tour of the house and told them the things they couldn't touch. And I said, "No, no, 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 no." Now, that's the law, and that's not liberty. But now, wait a minute. They were born in the land of the free and the home of the brave, born in what we call a free country. And yet, it was no, no, no. You see, liberty means to be and do without restraint. Liberty means complete absence of restraint. Law means a restraint from a freedom. For example, a man has a tendency to steal. That's liberty. The law says, thou shalt not steal, and that's restraint. A man has a tendency to murder. The law says, thou shalt not kill. And so his liberty says he can murder. But the law says, thou shalt not kill. A slave says, I want to learn to read. But his master says, it is not best for you that you learn to read, and not best for our household that you learn to read. And so you will not be able to learn to read. Liberty says the slave could learn to read. Law says the slave cannot learn to read. A child is not very old before he hears the words no, 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 no. I mean, this vase you cannot touch, and this you cannot eat, and this you cannot do. Any parent that turns out a halfway decent child is going to have restraints. You're going to have to say no. Now, liberty says no restraint. Law says total restraint. How in the world can we coincide law and liberty? How can these two great pillars of the faith ever meet to form an arch at the top of the building or the top of the cathedral? How is it possible? A slave says, I'm going to run away. But the master says, it is not best that you leave, and so the fetters are tightened, and the slave is not allowed to leave. Liberty is always loosening man's fetters, and the law is always binding man with more and stronger ones. Now you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that the Bible talks about the law of liberty. The law of liberty. How could it be that there could be a restraining of no restraint? How could there be a bondage of freedom? How could there be a slavery of liberty? How could there be a law of liberty? Liberty and mother's law, for example, conflict. The child says, I will have. And the mother says, you shall not have. Why, most of our childhood lives are spent in slavery, bondage, the law. You must be home by a certain time. You cannot stay out past a certain time. And you must not go here. And you can't run around with that crowd. And you cannot eat this. And you must eat this. And you cannot drink this. And you must get up at a certain time. And you must not talk in school. If you don't believe that there is slavery still, you wait till tomorrow. Now here are several hundred children, and they're free. They live in a free country. But they will be living by law tomorrow. Now, may I explain to you what the law of liberty really means? Now listen carefully, because the message will not be lengthy tonight. And yet there's a truth here that you ought to have. Here's a child, and his mother is constantly saying, son, no, you can't go here, you can't do this, no to that, no to this, no to that, no to this. What is it? It's a law of restraint. The law of saying, you cannot do this, it isn't good for you. I recall when I was a kid, I got in the aspirins and took 12 at one time. And they didn't do me much good, but I didn't have fever for 13 years. I took 12 at one time. And my mother, after she got me well, she made me sick. After she was sure nothing was wrong, she caused more trouble than the aspirins did. And if my mother, I was only a couple of years old, and IQ already of 110, mother said, son, do not get in the medicine cabinet. You cannot get the medicine. And aspirins, no, 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 no. You've heard me tell this every night before I went to bed. From the time I was 2 or 3 years of age, from the time I went in the army, my mother took something and held it up and said, no, no, no. One night it was cigarettes. She didn't take any real cigarettes, but pictures of cigarettes or ads.
And Sid says, son, cigarettes are bad. Cigarettes, no, 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 no. Cigarettes, bad. And I had to say the same thing. Cigarette, bad, bad. Cigarette, no, 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 no. She'd take a bottle of whiskey or add about a bottle of whiskey and say, son, this is whiskey. Whiskey, bad. Whiskey, no, 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 no. Whiskey, bad. No, no. Sid, son. I'd say, whiskey, bad. Whiskey, bad. Whiskey, no, 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 no. Whiskey, bad. And you know, from the time that I was 2 years of age to the time I became a paratrooper in World War II, every night my mother said, no, 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 no. She'd point to a girl, a female, that had on pants or shorts. She'd say, bad girl, bad girl. That's back in the days when they admittedly were bad girls. And she'd say, bad girl, no, 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 no. She'd say, sure, fella, had long hair. In those days, we called them tramps. Now they call them hippies. Mother says, son, bad crowd. No, 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 no. We always had a boy or two in the class in my school. Mother said, you can't go with him. No, 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 no. Son, you can't play in the street. No, no, no. I was 13 years old, for I thought my name wasn't. No, 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 no. Now those were days of the law of restraint. Mother saying, son, you cannot do thus and so. Now, you look at the same mother and child 20 years later. Mother's face is wrinkled. Her hair is gray. The law of restraint has passed away. The son is his own master. He's free. But a higher law enters. What is that higher law? He sees that his mother was right. He sees her face. He loves her. And he responds the same way he always responded. It's still, no, mother has no right to say, no, 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 no. And by the way, we used to have enough character in America where if our mothers didn't like it in respect of our mothers, we didn't do it. Now, you kids don't know anything about that, but there was a day when the term mother was so sacred and so holy that even after mother was dead and in heaven, we didn't do what we thought mother wouldn't want us to do. I mean, if we wanted to, why? We didn't do it. Why? Because mother didn't want us to. And so, what happens? Here is this young man who's heard the word no 74,265,463 times. He's heard the word no, 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 no. But now then, mother's up in years, and the son is grown, and the shackles are torn away, and the fetters are broken, and the bondage is no longer there, and the law of restraint is no longer there. But that son loves his mother, and he knows his mother was right when she said no, no, no. And a new law has come, the law of liberty. Now, the fellow still doesn't drink, but it's not because mother says no, 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 no. It's because of respect for his mother and confidence that mother is right. And that's the law of liberty. Now, the law of restraint said you don't smoke, but the law of liberty says, mama taught me not to smoke and 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 not to smoke. Now then, listen, if the only reason I don't smoke, it ought to be for my mother. If there's anything sick or that shows the sickness of this generation, it's how that as soon as we can get away from mother, we forget everything she taught us. We used to sing songs about mother. Tell mother I'll be there in answer to her prayer. We used to sing, I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old dad. We don't do that much anymore. Why? We've lost all respect for authority. We've lost all regard. Let her go to the devil. Who cares? We don't care if mother likes our smoking or not. For your own mama, we're free. We'll do our own thing now. Oh, you poor ignorant moron, you got some real problems. You don't have any respect. You don't have any gratitude. Even if smoking is not wrong, if mother thinks it's wrong, that's good enough reason not to smoke. And even if immodest clothing is not wrong, and if a male wears long hair, I'm starting to say a man. I don't know of any men that wear long hair, but I'm starting to say a man. But a male wears long hair. If you think it's all right, but mother doesn't think it's all right, that's a good enough reason for you to get a haircut, just to please mama. That's what you call the law of liberty. All those years, it was the law of restraint. And now then, when real people of character grow up, they do things that are not wrong. They refuse to do things that are not wrong to do. Because, Mama, you know this day, I don't think it's a sin to play ball on Sunday. Sunday's not the Sabbath day. Sabbaths were all nailed to the cross. I don't think it's a sin to play ball on Sunday. But you know what? I wouldn't touch a baseball on Sunday. No way. You know why? Because Mama taught me not to. Now, Mama, she's not here tonight, so I gossip about her. But Mama taught me not to. But she said, Sunday's the Sabbath. Now, don't tell her I said this, but Sunday's not the Sabbath. I'll always save this when Mother's not here. I want to break her heart. She's almost 95 now. It'd be a shame for her to change her doctrine this late in life. But Sunday's the Sabbath. No, Sunday's not the Sabbath. And, son, years ago I told you this. I used to be a pretty good ball player. I say pretty good. I'm somewhere between Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth. I used to be a pretty good ball player. I was a semi-professional softball pitcher when I was young. And I was offered a contract with the Brooklyn Dodgers to play on one of their farm teams. And whether I could ever make the big leagues or not, I don't know. I do know, but modesty prevents me from telling you my real opinion about it. And it's a good thing I didn't pursue that, or Jackie Robinson would never have been second base for the Brooklyn Dodgers. But I played shortstop. Well, there was a Catholic church in our area, the St. James Catholic Church, and they had a ball team, and they were playing for the Catholic Championship. And this fellow that called himself a father but looked a bit more like a mother, he came and said, "Jack, would you play for us and pitch for us? And we need you. It's not against the rules." And so I said, "Well, if it's okay with Mother." And I can still see that fellow coming by on a Sunday afternoon. He got out of his car. He didn't get any farther than the car. He didn't get to the driveway. I didn't get to the sidewalk. He got his car. And my mother started preaching. And she hollered and screamed at him. And she said, "You get out of here!" And he said, "Well, why, ma'am?" "Why?" She said, "This is Sunday. How dare you play ball on Sunday?" Well, he said, "We Catholics don't see anything wrong." "Well," she said, "you're wrong. You ought to see something wrong with it. You ought to be like Baptists are. My boy's a Christian. He's not a Catholic. And my boy's a Christian. You get out of here." And I'm trying to think whether it was a broom or a walking stick that Mother got. And she took off after him. Why, you'd have thought he was trying to get me to go to the red light district. All over playing ball on Sunday. And she chased that guy back in his car and chased him down the road and was running past after the car. And she got rid of him all because of playing ball on Sunday. Now, I do not think it's a sin to play ball on Sunday. But I'll guarantee you one thing. I don't recall the last time I had a ball in my hand on Sunday. I think I was 1 year old in the living room pushing it across the floor. But don't play ball. Why don't I play ball on Sunday? Because I respect my mother. And by the way, I'll guarantee you one thing. You'll never see me with a ball in my hand on Sunday. You say, "Is it a sin?" No, not a sin. Won't you do it? Because Mama thinks I shouldn't. So I won't. Whatever happened to folks living like that because they respected Mom and Dad? Oh, yes, that's old fogey. Whatever happened with being old fogey, please, Mama? Well, you say, but that's narrow-minded. Well, you broad-minded people just really have a cracked skull. That's your problem. And you say, "Well, Hiles, I'm an old man." Yeah, and the fact that you are your own man means you might be man enough to respect your mother. "Hey, well, I'm free to do what I want to." Freedom also implies you're free to not do what you want to too. That's an amazing thing about that. People, "I'm free to do what I want to." Well, honey, freedom means both ways. I mean, if you hand me a chocolate milkshake, my freedom doesn't mean I'm free to take it. I'm also free not to take it, dumb bunny. And freedom doesn't mean taking what you want. Freedom means either take it or leave it, according to what you choose. And there is such a thing as being a man enough to say no to something because Mama doesn't want you to do it. Or because Daddy doesn't want you to do it. sad thing. It's an awful sad thing. When young people, their moms, they get old, get out of high school, get out of college, or summertime, and so mom and dad have to say, get a haircut, son, get a haircut. Listen, you ought to get a haircut because you love your mama and she wants you to get one. Now you ought to. That's what you call the law of liberty. It's a law that is more rigid than the law of restraint. The law of restraint says you can't do it, but I want to. You can't do it, but I want to. You can't do it. But the law of liberty says I want to, but I won't. Because I know you don't want me to. And the law of liberty causes you to live just like you live in the law of restraint. Except you do the same thing you did, but you don't do it because mama says don't do it. You don't do it because the law says don't do it. You do it because you found out it's best to do it. Let me see if I can illustrate. Here's a fellow that gets a broken leg. And there's nothing worse, Doc, than a broken leg. I mean, you know, one where the leg just really breaks. And it shoots out like that. You know, you're sitting like this and the leg just goes down and shoots out like that. There's nothing worse than that. And so, here's that leg. Now, what you going to do to that leg? Huh? You're going to put it in a cast. And that cast is the law of restraint. And you're going to take that leg and put it like it ought to be. And to keep that leg from going like it ought not to be, that leg is placed in a cast. And the leg cannot leave the cast, and that leg is left in the cast until it will not on its own go where it shouldn't go and do what it shouldn't do. That leg should be straight. See that? You see see the difference in those fingers? See on my right hand, little finger shooting out that way. You know why it's that way? By the way, I haven't heard any sympathy about that. Look at that. Thank you. Now, that finger, I have to pull it in. Instead, it just shoots out that way. We were having a church picnic years ago when the church was smaller. It was on a 4th of July or Labor Day or something out here at Riverside Park. We had a baseball game, and I was playing shortstop for one side. You know how old codgers are. We like to show off what we can still do. You know, like Caleb said, I'm 80 years old, but I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. And he was lying through his teeth, and all of us are lying through our teeth. We say what we can do. And so I was playing shortstop. And a little pop fly came out to short left field, and boy, it was just right. I mean, just right. For I could run as fast as I could and dive and land on my tummy, which is what I usually land on because it's the biggest landing gear I have, and on my tummy, and I'd make a one-handed catch, and the people would say, you know, boy, that preacher, I'll tell you what, that man's a real athlete, and I am a real athlete. So I ran out, and I made a big dive for the ball, missed it. Landed on that thumb right there. But didn't have that middle finger, rather. That middle the thumb, see, thumb, index, middle finger, ring finger, little finger. I got it now. Okay, let's see. Wrist, elbow, shoulder, neck, brains, and so forth. But that little finger. And so, little finger was broken. But guess what I did? Nothing. It stuck out like that, and I looked at it, and I don't like doctors. I like doctors in church. I like doctors at the store. I like doctors on the street. I don't like doctors in the doctor's offices. And so, I'll probably go to the cemetery several years sooner because I don't go to the doctor's office enough. But anyway, I am not trying to hurt anybody's business, fellas. I realize you fellas need your business, so keep going to the doctor, folks. But anyway, I didn't get my a little finger there straightened. In a cast. So what happened? It's going its own way. See? Now then, what was it? It didn't have the law of restraint. So what do you do? You take that broken limb and you pull it back exactly like it ought to be, and then you tie it there like a limb off a tree that you forced to be in the right direction. But you take that leg and put it in a cast. What is that cast? That cast is the law. That cast says, thou shalt not wiggle that leg. That cast says, you shall not put your leg out that way. That cast says, you'll not walk on that leg. That cast says, you'll stay right here. And you can't go to the right. You can't go to the left. You can't go up. You go down. You stay right here. That's the law of restraint. But one day that leg gets to where you don't need the cast anymore. And the cast is taken off. And then you have the normal movement and motion of the leg. And what do you do? The leg still is in the right place. And it still doesn't shoot out there. But you take that cast off too soon, and that leg is going to shoot out there, and you're going to have a leg like that finger. Now, there are three types of people tonight. First, types of people who have no cast. No cast. You do your own thing. Got a broken life, broken dreams, broken health. Do your own thing. Take your all restraint, and you have no cast. Now, you're headed for trouble. Listen, young people grow up saying, boy, I tell you, my mama's mean. Unless you think your mama's mean while you're young, you won't think she's wonderful when you get old. Unless you think your dad's unreasonable while you're young, you won't think your dad's reasonable when you get old. And rest homes tonight are filled all across this country with old people that are not loved by young people because young people don't appreciate them because they never said no while the kids are growing up. The adults in this room tonight who love their parents the most are the adults who hated their parents the most a few years ago. And teenager, you'll come back. Yeah, you'll come back. Let me just stop and say a word here. This is a parenthesis. Did you know you ought not to get married till your mom and dad think you ought to get married? And did you know you ought not to get married to the person unless your mom and dad approve that person? Did you know that the people that love you the most ought to have veto power? Well, yes, I'm free to do what I want to. Yeah, nutty, you're also free to do what they want to if you so choose. Now, I'm not saying that that you ought to choose their mates. Good night. You think I'd have chosen Johnny Murphy for Linda? Jack Scott for Cindy? Good night. But they were within my scope of acceptance. No, I'm saying I could not, Tim Smith, Jack Scott, and Johnny Murphy, I could not have chosen three finer young men. But I want to say this. Out of respect, your mom and dad, they should not pick your mate for you. And they should not tell you when to get married, but they ought to have veto power. Now, that's what you call respect. But you say, well, I'll tell you what, I love him. It just may be that people that know more about love than you do might know that that's not real love you have. It just may be. I'll tell you something. The day is going to come when you wish you had respected your parents. The day is going to come when you wish and you know, I'm off the subject, and I think I'll just stay off a while. You know what this popular thing that's going around these days, if you don't like it at home, run off. Run off. The only thing about you folks that run off is that you come back. That's a bad thing. Run off. Run off. Take off. Yeah. And this thing about, you know why I run off? Because mom and dad don't love me and the school doesn't love me. Now the truth is, you better wait till you grow up and become a mom and dad before you decide whether mom and dad or the school loved you or not. And this whole thing, running off. it's a sign of weakness. Real masculine young men don't have to run off. And real fine young ladies don't have to run off. If I don't get my way, I won't live at home anymore. There's a word for you. I-D-I-O-T. Spells moron. See, I don't want this cast on. I know my leg's broken. I want to stick out like that. I want my arm like that. I want to go all my life like that. I'm free. I'm free! I'm free! I'm free! You're all so retarded. Sure you're free! And you're free enough if you got any sense to trust somebody that knows more than you know. Keep your cast on. Keep your cast on. Keep the cast on until the person that put it on says it's time to take it off. Keep your cast on. There's the person has no cast. Listen, you want to see America's at its worst and the real America? You let some town have a big fire and see what happens to merchandise in the store when the store is wide open. That's no cast. No law. No restraint. No rules. Why? Because no cast. And young people, listen to me. You need a cast on your life until you're old enough. Till the person who puts the cast on says it's time to take it off. You don't go to the doctor to have a cast for a broken arm, broken leg, and you say, well, I'll tell you what, I think it's time to, and you take the cast. No, you don't. You go back to the doctor and say, Doc, what do you think? The doctor looks at it and he says, well, one more week, I think. And you leave it on. You don't take it off. Why? Because you don't know as much as the doctor does about that cast. Nor do you know as much as authority does about the cast of rules. As we'll say this. And somebody ought to say it. Somebody ought to, you know what I'm going to say, yeah. But somebody ought to say it. Now, I've forgotten what it was. And some older people ought to say it. Older people have almost become intimidated by younger people who think older people don't know as much as young people do. And especially if you went to hear Dr. Messemup and Dr. Drysdust in school and read the book by Dr. Liberal Puss and you've even got a piece of paper that says you've got a bachelor's degree. And boy, Mom doesn't have one and Dad doesn't have one. Dad's got more sense in his thumb than you got in your head. And older people, don't you be intimidated by this young crowd on television that talks about the old times and the old days. And you know what? We're finding out nowadays that even medical science doesn't know much. We prescribe a medicine that's a sure cure for one thing, and you'll die from another thing. You know, Mama's old mustard plaster wasn't as bad as we thought it was. It never did kill you. It made you not want to live, but it never did kill you. I mean, boy, I tell you what, I never, if my nose was running, I wouldn't let it run. Man alive, I'd suck it up all as long as I could before I'd blow it. Why? Because, man, if Mama saw something drop off my nose, it's mustard plaster day. Now, if you've never slept with a mustard plaster, you don't know what hell is really going to be like. I mean, oh my soul, the thought of it. That thing crossed my chest all night long. And then, you know what Mama would do? She'd rub me with that stuff. And then I can see her now, she'd get a towel and hold it over the stove until you could see the little part of the towel. You could see little sparks on that towel. Then she'd come at me. The towel literally was charred. It was burning. And then she'd pull those pajamas back. Pajamas, nothing. Old daddy's on to that old shirt. Pull it back. She'd stick that burning towel on me. Now, if you just said men after that, oh, man. And, but, yeah. But you know what? It never did cause any arthritis. And medical science did not come later and say, uh-oh, got to take that off the market. Up, John's going to take it off the market. Because up, Mom knew what she was doing. You see, I'm saying this. I'm saying that the honest truth is we have allowed the fella in the cast to talk us into believing that He knows more about the cast than we do.
And there is not, including this preacher, there is not a person in this room who knows more than his mom. I don't know more than my mom. And you don't know more than yours.
And when moms and dads say, put the cast on, put the cast on. Okay, there's one kind of person has no cast. And that's when the life goes cattywampus. And all over this room tonight, I could bring folks up here by the dozens who could stand up here with tears streaming down their cheek. And they would say, I never had a cast on, and my life is wrecked and ruined. And would God,
I'd had a mom and dad love me enough to put a cast on. I can still see that football player knocking on my door, walking inside my office, looking down at me. He's about 6'2". Looking down at me. He bigger than I was. And he said, Brother Hounds, would you spank me? I said, why, son?
He said, because I'm 17 years old and nobody's ever loved me enough to spank me. He said, I want somebody to love me enough to spank me.
And I said, son, what have you done?
He said, I don't know, but I've done something wrong enough to be some spank more. Spank me.
I took that big old 6'2" tied in on a football team, turned him on my knee and wailed the fire out of him.
Brother Hiles, spank me. Nobody ever loved me enough to spank me. What is it? He never had a cast on his broken life. And just as sure as broken bones need cast, broken lives need cast. And the cast stays on
until the person that put the cast on takes it off. There's a second group, and that is those who have the cast on that is not needed. Oh, that's the way it ought to be. You know, in the life of a child, Brother Boardway, you'll find this out if you haven't already. Every child
has to come to the time in his life where what mama and dad have taught become what he believes. It's almost like shifting gears in a car. Take off an airplane, and when you get so high, you hear a strange noise. It's the engines, not like cowboys and engines, but the engines. It's they're shifting themselves for smooth flight, for level flight. It's a sort of reversing of the engines. On old prop planes, it was actually reversing of the engines. And in a life of a child, you put the cast on, and then sometime, it may be when he's 15. It may be when he's 18. It may be when he's 20. But sometime, a child comes to place to where what he's been taught by mom and dad, what he's been taught by the preacher, what he's been taught by the school, becomes his own. And you say, how long should a child keep the cast on? Until that time. Now allow me to talk about one of the children, Cindy. I can remember, just as plain as today, when Cindy, I took the cast off Cindy. Mr. Clare, you were teaching in school then, and some of the other fellows. Cindy was a little rebel for a while. I mean, she wasn't mean. She wasn't wicked. She never got drunk. She quit right before she got drunk. But she never drank or smoked or cursed. But I mean, it just wasn't hers yet. And so the cast was on. And the cast stayed on. And I recall just almost overnight one day. Overnight one day. I recall just like that. I saw Cindy on her knees beside her bed in her room. And I paused and watched her. And tears were rolling down her cheeks. And she was asking God to forgive her for something she had done wrong and to help her and give her strength. And I said to myself, I think the cast is about ready to come home. Why? Because Cindy, my convictions had shifted to Cindy. Convictions of mom and dad and church and Sunday school teachers and administrators had shifted to Cindy. And now she didn't read the Bible because Dad said you got to read it. Though Dad did say she had to read it. Oh, somebody said, oh, you make them read the Bible. They'll grow up and hate the Bible. Don't say that out loud. They'll admit you to some institution. Well, you make them do it and they won't want it and they'll grow up. Okay, don't make them bathe then, dummy. Don't make them brush their teeth.
When you say, brush your teeth, that's the cast. They'll come and if you can take the cast off, they'll brush your teeth on their own. You bathe! And wash your ears! And then they'll come and they'll wash their bathe and wash their ears on their own. You do right. Keep the cast on. Keep the cast on. And then when that time comes where the child... Now, sometimes, by the way, you're very fortunate if that happens before the child does something seriously wrong. If that shift from dad and mom, church and preacher's convictions can come before the child has wrecked his life, how sad it is when that shift comes after the illegitimate baby is born. How sad it is when that shift comes after the dope has been taken and the addiction is there. How sad it is when that change comes after the expulsion from school. How sad. But mark it down, the cast ought to stay on. You say, how long should the cast stay on? Some folks' cast ought to stay on until they're out of college. Then there's a third group, and that's the group of those the cast is removed too soon. Cast is there. No, no, no. No, no, no. I'm not talking about a mean no. I'm talking about a loving no, but a firm no. Remember that night, Saturday, Cindy had a date. She tried to call home. It was a double date, of course. So she tried to call home because the other three people wanted to eat out before they came in on Saturday afternoon, and nobody was there. And so she went on. So when I got back in out of town, I didn't say anything at first, but driving home to church on Wednesday night, just Cindy and I together, I said, Puddin', if you had a daughter that stayed out an hour too late without permission, what would you do? Well, she said, Dad, come on, I know I did wrong. Well, I said, I'm talking about your daughter if you had one. She said, well, Dad, come on, I'm ready for it. I'll take the medicine. I said, oh, I'm talking about what medicine you'd give, not what kind you'd take. I said, if you had a daughter that came in an hour late, no permission, what would you do? She said, I'd ground her for 2 weeks. I said, I'm a one-weeker myself. She leaned over in the car and hugged me, and she said, oh, Dad, you always know exactly how to do it. What I was doing, keeping the cast on. No bitterness, no hatred. Truth is, I used to ground them for a week and get a hug out of it. But the cast stays on. You know what happens to this little this little fella? He thinks he's a man. And so he gets out of high school. And the next day, he starts growing his Shirley Temple. Yeah, the next day. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to show you he's a man. Now, a man is not so ignorant that he takes his own cast off. Let me tell you a real man. A real man walks in and says, Mom, can I talk to you? And the mom says, well, of course, son, we've always been able to talk. And the real man says, Mom, I'm out of school now. And Mom, you know, I don't have to do all those things I had to do while I was in school. Now, Mom, I want your honest advice. What do you think I'll do about my hair? And your mom said, son, I think you ought to do what you always have done. And a real man hugs his mom and says, Mom, I'd like to let it grow a little longer, but you're my mama, and I'd rather please you than anybody in the world. That's what you call a real man. And that's what America used to have. Oh, but nowadays, I gotta get off my, I gotta get this cast off to show them I can stick my leg out that way. Dummy, 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 dummy. Sissy, 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 sissy. Yeah. Because I don't like that. Well, I'm man enough not to care whether you like it or not. You know what taking the cast off too soon is? Taking the cast off too soon is you graduate one night and you're on a beach the next day. Stripped half naked, showing your thighs, half, two-thirds of your body, so wicked men can look at your body, commit adultery in their minds with you. Boy, I'm free now!
I'm out of the cast.
Yeah, but the very fact that you went and did that proves that you weren't ready to come out of the cast yet. And what you should have done is run to a good Christian college right quick, have some cast, and say, put me back in. Now, there are a lot of you folks tonight. Well, I don't. Listen, well, you're not going to affect me. I want to bet. Want to bet? Many of you little gals showing your thighs on the beach. Now, I don't keep you from the beach, but you think about me while you're out there. Yes, you do. Yeah, you know you do. I can't keep you off the beach, but I can keep you from enjoying it as much. And if I don't succeed there, at least your blood's off my hands, Susie. Just as sure as I said that, somebody named Susie on the beach yesterday. And before I leave tonight, her mom will be at my doorstep. And before she leaves my doorstep, she'll get it. From me, you know what? You had it before yourself. I'm working right now with several people who grew up in a church whose lives are wrecked and ruined. Why? Because they decided themselves when to take the cast off. Now, I don't blame any young person for not agreeing with a cast. I recall one time I wore a cast. And I'd sit in the window and look out and see if the guy's playing ball in the yard, in the lot. And I'd say, man, I want this cast off. I don't need this cast. I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't blame you for wanting to take your cast off. I don't blame you for wanting to be free. What I blame you for is for not having enough sense to realize that the person that put the cast on knows when the cast ought to come off. Keep the cast on. Paul often used the term bond slave. Bond slave was one who was a slave. And his term of slavery was over, and he volunteered to go back as a slave and live with the same rules that he used to have to live by, and now he does it because he wants to live by it. And that's what Paul said he was, a bond slave. Quickly, these two statements I'm through. All the purpose of the laws of restraint lead to the law of liberty. The law of liberty. The cast is not made to bind you. The cast is made so someday you can be allowed to be free and walk. The cast is made not to take away your freedom. The cast is made so to let you become so encumbered with right. Until when the cast is removed, you will do right because you've already been bent or straight in that way. And that's the purpose of rules at home. And that's the purpose of rules at school. And that's what the law of liberty really is. Law? Yes. Liberty? Yes. What is it? That's what you reach when you get to the top of the structure. And you see that great pillar of law rising toward the top. And that great pillar of liberty rising toward the top a good distance apart. And then, as you get to the top, you see them as they arch toward the middle and find that they hold up the entire building. Why? Because they join in one great structure. And law and liberty are the same way. If I could tonight do one thing for the people in this room who are young, if I could do one thing, I'd do this. I'd say to you, you're in a cast. You don't like the cast. Nobody likes a cast. And you want out of that cast. And I don't blame you for wanting out of it. I don't blame you for saying, Mama, let me out. Daddy, let me out. I had some folks come to my office this morning asking Dr. Evans for me to take the cast off concerning some rules at the college. I guess I had a half a dozen people do that. I didn't take the cast off of one. Couldn't if I wanted to, but wouldn't if I could. Take the cast off. Why? Because they need the cast on.
I think every young man who's got a girlfriend, Hiles Anderson College, ought to want to kiss her. But we have a cast on. And the cast is on until you're able to walk straight on your own. And one day the cast will be off. And will you have fun? I bet she's ashamed of you. This and I'm through. We had two weddings this week. And one was Friday night. Pollard Mercer, don't tell me. And who? Cindy McCormick, yeah, Colonel McCormick's daughter. And time came for the kiss. And old Pollard got a taste of it. And you know what the first thing he did? Formal wedding, bride in her gown, groom in her, in his nice tuxedo. Flowers, tendons. He turned to me and went, phew. Smile across his face, phew. As if to say, if I'd known about that 4 years ago, I wouldn't have waited. But he had to because he had a cast on. And when you keep the cast on until it's time to take it off, even though you want to keep it on or take it off before it's time, if you just trust the people that have made casts before until time to take it off, and then finally the cast is removed and you're able to live in the law of liberty and yet do that which is right and best for you, you'll say, phew, what a way to live. And one day you'll walk back and shake my hand and hug your mom and hug your dad and say, thank you, preacher. Thank you, mama. Thank you, daddy. Though I didn't enjoy the cast. Though I thought I knew about it than you did.